You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Business Day Spotlight. And on this Wednesday, today is, if I remember correctly, it should be the 27th of March, 2019. And this week, we are going to be focusing on what's going on in the economy. The big news of the week is going to be happening tomorrow, because currently the Monetary Policy Committee of the Reserve Bank is sitting to decide the future of interest rates. And that decision is expected to be given tomorrow afternoon by the governor, Governor Lesecha Kanyago tomorrow. So we are joined on the line by your Nedbank chief economist, Dennis Dykes, just to give us maybe some of the things that we should be looking out for, because it's one of those decisions that actually impacts a lot of South Africans and the way that people run and do business out there. How are you, Dennis?
No, keeping strong. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I guess as a point of departure for those who might not be in the know, could you give us just a roundup? We understand that the MPC usually meets for about 3 days and then give their final report back on the third day. Could you just run us through how interest rates in South Africa are decided and why South Africans should be paying attention to this news tomorrow?
Yes, as you say there, the Monetary Policy Committee, which consists of the governor, deputy governors, and a couple of others, meets over 3 days. During that time, they're briefed by the staff of the Reserve Bank on what has actually happened over the intervening period between the last MPC and the current one. And very importantly, of course, what the economic outlook is, both in terms of growth, but very importantly, in terms of what they're expecting to happen to inflation over the next 2 to 3 years, because interest rates typically take quite some time to impact on inflation. The general sort of feel is it takes something between 18 and 24 months for a decision now to actually start impacting on inflation. That's the so-called transmission mechanism, works very, very slowly. So they have to base their decision on what they expect is going to happen to inflation. And to do that, they obviously have to plug in various assumptions around oil price, around the exchange rate, what they think is going to happen to food prices, electricity prices, et cetera, et cetera. And then they also look at inflation expectations in the broader economy.
Yeah.
So both business expectations, but also those of analysts and also labor. So it is quite a long process. It's quite an important process, because if they get it wrong, then it can actually be unnecessarily contractionary on the economy. It can have a very negative impact on spending. But if they tighten too much, and by the same token, if they don't tighten enough, or they keep interest rates too low, down the line you could have much higher inflation, and then they have to play catch up and start raising interest rates to try and actually choke off runaway inflation. So it is a very important decision.
So on your end, given everything that you've just spoken about, I think during the last decision, which came in January, interest rates are currently sitting at around 6.75%. Do you expect a cut, or are we going to possibly see ourselves entering that 7% region tomorrow?
Yeah, look, my personal view is that they're going to keep interest rates flat, and probably keep it flat for the remainder of the year, in actual fact.
Yeah.
If you look at what's happened since the last meeting, in actual fact, we've seen a deterioration on the inflation side, and we've seen a deterioration on the growth side.
Yeah.
So, which ultimately will impact on inflation and is impacted by inflation. So, just to put that in perspective, since January, the rand has fallen by 5.5% against the dollar, and the oil price has gone up from $59 odd to about $67 odd, which is an increase in dollar terms of about 12%. So probably in this next petrol price announcement, we're going to see an increase of over 1 rand in the petrol price. So unfortunately, all the good news that filtered through from November through to January, it now is now starting to reverse And we know that how bearish they were in November. That's when they actually raised rate, which I think at the time was probably not the right decision because there was enough good news in the offing, but they elected still to go ahead and raise rates. But if they were going to, reverse that decision, it would have been in January.
Yeah.
I think now, it's very unlikely. Having said that, obviously inflation is very low. It's below the target range at the moment. Inflation expectations are fairly low as well. We think that inflation during the course of the year is probably, we've seen the low point now, but it will take some time to get back up to around about 5 at the end of the year. And then early next year, unfortunately, we're going to see a spike in inflation, and that could spook the Reserve Bank into, worrying about how that will influence inflation expectations, and they'll probably tighten a little bit at that time. Obviously, depending on a whole range of factors that we don't really know at this point, but I think that will also play into this. The other factor, which I didn't mention, was, of course, electricity price.
Yes, yes.
If you look at the Reserve Bank's assumptions for the electricity price increases, they were assuming that, that there would be a 9.7% increase this year, an 8.8% increase next year, and a 6% in 2021. And as you know, with the clawback, the increase is going to be more like 14.4% this year.
Yeah.
The other two look reasonably in line with what is being announced, 8.1 and 5.2, being slightly lower than what they had actually projected.
So what would the influence of that actually then be?
Well, it obviously impacts on the inflation rate. So in their inflation assumptions, they would have plugged in some electricity price tariff increases. They plug in a whole lot of other assumptions about what might happen to, rates and taxes and so forth. Food prices, as I mentioned, that goes on. But here's one assumption that we know exactly what they were thinking at the time of the last meeting, and now it's going to be disappointed. It's going to be higher than what they anticipated.
So now that we have all of that in mind, could we sort of maybe understand what else is some of the other factors? Because we have talked a lot about the internal things, but I think South Africa tends to, when you listen to the governor talking and a lot of the justification that's given for their interest rate decisions, also takes into account the movements that are being done by other central banks in other parts of the world. I think just the other week, the U.S. has come out and it's, if I remember correctly, they're holding theirs steady. But we saw, I think yesterday, Nigeria actually cut theirs by it's 25 to 50 basis points. I can't remember the exact numbers. How does that factor into what actually happens here? Are they looking that much out there?
No, absolutely. You're 100% right. When you start to statement, he actually looks at what's happening globally. And there, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag because what we've seen is the Federal Reserve now is projecting a much more dovish monetary policy than it did at the time of the November increase. So in November, clearly one of the things that was worrying the Monetary Policy Committee was that the Federal Reserve would raise interest rates by 2 or 3 times during the course of 2019.
Yeah.
That would put pressure on the rand, and consequently there'd have to be a response locally on the interest rate front. Now that's off the table. It looks as though the Federal Reserve is not going to raise during the course of this year, and they've also relaxed their quantitative easing tapering, which means that they're going to stop their program of basically withdrawing bonds from the market in later this year. So that's all very bullish for South Africa. But having said that, the reason why the Federal Reserve has become more dovish, why it's not actually raising interest rates, is because the economic outlook has worsened. And unfortunately, one of the effects of the economic outlook worsening is that people become more risk averse. They start to get worried about what might happen globally. And if they're risk averse, they tend to bring their capital home. and consequently it could put pressure on emerging market currencies. So it's not a clear-cut thing, but it's certainly one of the factors which they were very worried about towards the end of last year, which looks looks quite a bit better. We're not going to see competitive interest rate increases over the last little while. As far as, you know, some of the other emerging market central banks that are cutting interest rates at the moment, quite a few of those raised interest rates much more than we did. So, you know, it's not always the case that, that all emerging markets will move in the same direction. Some have had special circumstances where, because they raised interest rates in the wake of a very significant attack on the currency, for example, that they're then coming off a very high level and they can actually ease, given that globally the situation has been actually improved. So, I think unfortunately the window for maybe correcting what happened in November, that's my interpretation. They'll say, no, no, this was in their assumptions and, you know, now it's actually proven to be right. But that window, I think, is pretty much closed and we're going to see interest rates fairly steady from here, but I think it would be, by the same token, very inappropriate to consider further tightening in monetary policy. Although I think, as usual, the statement is going to be fairly tough. They're going to warn about what might actually happen going forward and so forth.
Yeah.
But probably come up with a neutral situation as far as interest rates is concerned, at least in the short term.
For our listeners who might not be completely aware or understand how the transmission mechanism actually works, how does interest rate hikes in another part of the world, such as the US, put pressure on the rand? I think, you know, perhaps some of our listeners might be asking themselves, you know, how what that relationship actually is.
Yeah, look, if interest rates are higher in the U.S. than they had been, then it would typically attract capital back into the United States, which means, and from places like South Africa. So if you've got money flowing out the economy rather than flowing into the economy, it tends to put upward pressure on interest rates because there's less of it around, you know, less money around.
Yeah.
And that puts downward pressure on the rand, which, of course, is of concern to the Reserve Bank because that's one of the mechanisms that actually feeds into domestic inflation. If you're paying higher for your imported prices, and particularly for oil, which then feeds into the petrol price, which then feeds into food prices and all sorts of other prices, then that is one of the ways that you can actually start to see inflation come.
So in a way, it has a domino effect or it's like a cycle.
It does, yes. So, you know, what they tend to do is say, okay, well, we'll compensate for that by raising interest rates here and keeping funds back in the economy and taking some of the pressure off the rand. It doesn't always work that way because there are other factors that are at play, including equity market perceptions and people concerned about your government finances. So there are many other factors at play, but that's the basic sort of premise is that if you've got fairly high level of interest rates, that you're going to attract capital into the economy and that will actually keep the currency relatively steady.
Now, still considering the rest of the world, I think this week one of the things that's on the tables that's rumored to be possibly happening is a ratings decision by Moody's, which is the only, if I remember correctly, it should be the only ratings agency that still has some confidence in terms of South Africa's investment grade status. Do you anticipate that this decision will feed into some of the factors that Moody's is talking about? I saw an interesting tweet today, someone saying that Eskom is able to load shed us for an entire week, but in the week that Moody's is said to give us a ratings upgrade or downgrade, they are able to give us 100% power.
Yeah, it's probably got more to do with diesel shipments than Moody's, but anyway, you could interpret it that way, I'm sure. Yes, so, I mean, Moody's has always been very complimentary about the South African Reserve Bank and monetary policy being very independently determined and in a very responsible sort of way, as have all the other rating agencies, the multilateral agencies, investors. Whenever I speak to foreign investors coming to town, you know, everyone gives a big tick to the Reserve Bank because they feel that policy is being run in a very responsible way.
Yeah.
So you know, I think Moody's wouldn't say, oh, well, they should have raised interest rates there, and they didn't, and therefore we're going to downgrade. I don't think that's going to be part of the discussion at all, because I think they fundamentally believe that the Reserve Bank is following the rights of the policy anyway.
Yeah.
And that they would have taken factors into account So I don't think that's the big issue. Unfortunately, with the Moody's decision, the big issues now would be the fact that economic growth is going to be weaker than what had been anticipated maybe pre the budget, because of the electricity load shedding and the impact on confidence and the direct impact on industry as well as, of course, mining. That will be one of the considerations. And then, of course, the growth rate feeds through into the fiscal situation, which makes it look worse, because if GDP is lower, then you have lower fiscal revenue, lower tax revenues, you have a lower denominator, so all your debt deficit figures look worse than they would otherwise be. And it also feeds directly into the direct fiscal arithmetic, which, yeah, I don't know, we won't be able to go into this in too much detail, but you want to actually have economic growth has to be higher than the real interest rate, otherwise you have a deteriorating debt situation.
Yeah.
So, and you know, if it's not, then you have to run a very big surplus, a primary surplus, which, you know, obviously would be very contractionary and not desirable under the current circumstances. So, economic growth plays a very, very important part, and unfortunately, that is looking a lot worse when Moody's probably looked for this last.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think we all just hoping that they'll say, okay, there's a lot of noise going on at the moment. We don't actually know what's going on. We've got election coming up. Let's reassess after the election and then make a determination. But obviously, it doesn't look too good. But hopefully, they'll just do a country review, warn, and leave us off the hook for the moment. But at the moment, but obviously they would have reason for concern.
Mm. So that was us. We were on the line with Nedbank's chief economist, Dennis Dykes, just giving us an outlook of what the MPC's decision is likely to be tomorrow. As we said at the beginning of the show, the South African Reserve Bank's monetary policy is currently in deliberations. They should have started yesterday, and they're going to be giving their decision tomorrow just around what interest rates for South Africa will be looking like for the next 3 months or so. Currently, we're sitting at around 6.75%, and you heard Dennis saying that he expects that we are likely to see no movement in that rate. The other considerations you heard, the fact that the US has become quite dovish and is expected to be more dovish for the rest of the year, which means they are unlikely to raise interest rates for the rest of 2019, which will help South Africa's outlook, because it means that the capital that's in South Africa is likely to remain. So thank you so much to Dennis. Thank you so much to listening to our podcast for this week. This has been Business Day Spotlight. My name is Leo Mob Justice Kavaza. Make sure you keep it locked. We will be back next week.